Let's turn in the Bible to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1. We're going to read one verse, verse 3. And our subject this morning is fellowship with God and Christ. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, fellowship with the Lord God of grace and with the Lord Jesus Christ has many points of contact. There are many areas, spiritual areas, that we can fellowship and do fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father, and because of that, with one another. And so we want to just get right into looking at those various points of fellowship this morning and think about them as the people of God. The first thing that we realize is that in the fellowship we have with God in Christ, we have that fellowship because we have like attachments to the same truths, like attachments to the same objects. We have like attachments and love for the same principles, and we have love for the same beings. Those are four things that come immediately to hand. Now, there may be more to the old saying, birds of a feather flock together, than we sometimes imagine. I believe that the person who coined that phrase probably hit on one of the most fundamental truths about the creatures that God has made that we could possibly think of, because it truly does hit home with everything in creation. In God's creation, this principle of birds of a feather flock together holds true almost all the time. Coyotes run in packs of other coyotes. And goldfinches fly around in little flocks of other goldfinches. And zebras run in herds of other zebras. And so it goes throughout creation. And as it is, brothers and sisters, in creation, it's the same way, not only with temporal things, it's that way in spiritual things. And I believe that's one of the things that John's writing here really draws out, that we are God's people fellowshipping with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, is with one another because there's commonality there. There are things that we have in common. So we see that we as God's people are able to fellowship with the Father on common ground. Now, as I said, the same principle that holds true in the created world, in the temporal world, holds true in the spiritual world. Believers have the same attachments and love for the same things, and those things are from God, and God has attachment to and love for them also. Now, unbelievers don't have those ties. Unbelievers do not have ties or attachments to spiritual things that the people of God have attachment to. You might say, well, how do you account for religious lost people? They have some other motive force that brings them into contact with religion. They don't have the spiritual connection with God and God's people that true born-again believers have. It may be family that draws them to religious practices. It may be popularity that draws them there. Some other cause comes into play for people who don't have the Spirit of God within them, and when that particular factor comes into play, they may be church members, they may get baptized, they may participate in church activities, but they lack the connection that John is talking about. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, God's people, along with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, have attachments to the same truths. Now, we've probably all known somebody in our life, in religious circles, who, when we were standing up for and teaching or explaining or expounding or discussing some particular great point of truth from the Word of God that would go along with that truth to a point, but they'd always have a "but on the other hand" kind of answer. It would always be, "Well, I know what you're saying, and I know what you are teaching there, but so-and-so." And I believe every one of us have met people like that, and sometimes we ask the question, okay, so if they're saved people, and it's there in the Bible, and the same Spirit leads them that leads us, why is there a "yeah, but" when they're confronted with that truth? Well, here is the answer, brothers and sisters. Truly, our fellowship is with God the Father and God the Son, but lost people, no matter how religious they are, will not have that identity, not have that connection, not have that attachment. There's your answer. A leopard cannot change his spots. And so we see that manifest itself in religious folks who don't know what it means to have fellowship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. True fellowship with God makes folks agree with God's truths. And when folks agree with God's truths, because they agree with God, they will agree on common ground with one another about those truths. Oh, you may have a little bit different slant on some biblical teachings than what I have, and that's understood. I'm not talking about a little bit different view on things. I'm talking about fundamental truth and the belief of it and the ability to fellowship around it. You're here in this church today, meeting here with us, because you believe what Harmony Baptist Church stands for. If you're a member here, I know that you believe that. That's why you come here. That's why you're joined here. That's why you're a member here. Unless, of course, one of those other motives is your case, and I can't read your heart. Only God knows what's in your heart. You may be a member here because of some other factor that I was just talking about. But true fellowship with God makes folks agree with God's truths, and those folks would agree with each other on His truth. That's just the bottom line about how the Lord works. Now, I said that this fellowship with the Lord also revolves around having attachment for the same objects. The Lord has His focus and His affections set on certain things in creation. And I'm not going to go into a laundry list of what those are, but I am going to focus on one. And that one is that the Lord has an attachment to and love for His church. And God's people can fellowship around that, and they do. Now, we have a bunch of folks today that have abandoned the idea of serving the Lord through His church. That's what mainstream Christianity in America today is focused on, is the general program of Christianity apart from the influence and the oversight of the Lord's church. I mean, that's what all these huge electronic programs are all about, brothers and sisters. That's what these huge ministries that air on international TV and feature hundreds of thousands of people coming to them, that's what that's all about. It's all about having something and what they call a connection with God without having any oversight by the Lord's true churches. And that's growing in America, especially if not elsewhere. Now, so they're off on something else, and they find fault with His churches. The one thing I've noted that's fairly common about generalized religion, Christian so-called religion in America today, is that both the leaders and those in the know in those religions have something against the Lord's churches. If you're the Lord's church, why do you do this? Why do you believe that? Blah, 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 blah. Ad infinitum. complaints with what God has set up as the rule by which churches are to conduct themselves. And the biggest complaint they have is the claim by the Lord's churches that they alone possess the authority to fulfill the Great Commission. Brother James, I'm glad you got on that subject about baptizing in the name of Jesus. Jesus was real clear about that when he gave his church in the 28th of Matthew the Great Commission. And by the way, he gave that commission to his local church. When he gave that commission to them, he said, I want you to baptize them any way you want to and any name you want to. No. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's the commission that he gave. Now, if you want to use Holy Ghost there, that's okay. They're synonymous. That's what he gave us. And so, the Lord's church has authority. The Lord's church has the business. Maybe the Lord is giving us a little spanking, brothers and sisters, because we haven't been taking care of business. You might say, well, others have no right to be out there preaching the gospel and doing things in the name of Christ unless they're within the fold of one of the Lord's churches. Really? I said maybe he's giving us a little spanking. What if, and it's scriptural here, what if he says, you have been doing your job to the Lord's churches throughout the world, so I'm gonna set forth a commission by the Holy Spirit to do some stuff out yonder that I want done that you're not doing. You might say, how's that scriptural? Do you remember the count of the apostles coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, we saw a man out there casting out devils in your name, and we forbade him because he was not of us. Today we'd say it like this. He's not a member of a local missionary Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, so we forbade him to do that stuff. That's the way we'd say it today if we put it in modern English. Jesus said, leave him alone. He that's not against me is for our cause. Now what do you think that Jesus knew about the guy out there casting out devils in his name? He knew everything about him. And he knew exactly what he was setting forth there in that. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. The church has been given the commission. The commission belongs to them only. But if we let down, if we sit down, if we're lazy in our task, I believe that the Holy Spirit has other business that he's doing in the kingdom of God. And it may take the form of the gospel being preached by those souls that are led by the Spirit of God that are outside the Lord's church. Now, you can tell the brethren that I'm a heretic for saying that if you want to, but I believe I have Bible for it, and I believe I have prima facie evidence for it today in the work of Christ that's going on, albeit a little bit erroneous here and there. The work of Christ that's going on outside of the oversight of the Lord's churches. I think it's to our shame. I really do. I think it's to our shame that it's going on. But I believe it is going on. Now, so we have a bunch of folks today that have abandoned the idea of serving the Lord through His church and being off into something else. They despise the Lord's churches. I don't know how to say it. Despise means looks down on, discounts. But the Lord God has some determinations made about the Lord's church that people everywhere that claim Christ as their Savior ought to pay attention to. They're all biblical. First of all, the Lord ordained that through and in His church, He meet with His people. You might say, where'd you get that, Brother Myers? Well, through a multiplicity of Bible scripture, but let me lay one to your charge right now, give you one to remember that points to it positively. And it happened in the second chapter of the book of Acts. To whom did the Holy Spirit descend in the form of cloven tongues on the day of Pentecost? To the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church. That's whom the Spirit descended upon. He didn't go anywhere else. And everywhere else he went, and everywhere else we read about him suddenly coming to a group of people, you ever notice for it why it was because of? Because some missionary or preacher from the Lord's New Testament church went down there and preached to them and prayed over them. There's your proof that God has ordained. There's a bunch more, but we don't have time to deal with it. There's the proof that God has ordained that he meet. He will meet and has ordained that he meet with his people in the congregational body. I've got some relatives that think they can worship God just as well outside the churches in it. I say to them and anybody else who says that, wrong. That's not scriptural. And God's people need to know it, remember it, and be ready to stand up for that truth, because this thing is blown all out of proportion in America, where everybody thinks, oh, doesn't matter how you worship, long as you go and worship God sincerely. You don't have to be a member of a church. No, you don't have to be. I'm talking about what is scriptural. That's what I'm talking about. And we know that the Lord is ordained to meet with his people in his church. Now, he's ordained that the congregation, the local visible body of the Lord's people, be his living place among the people of God. 1 Timothy 3:15. Church of God, which is the house of God, pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us that the Lord's church is his dwelling place. He's ordained to speak the gospel to the world through his church. I've already covered that. Won't say any more about it. You can read Matthew 28:19 and see that it's obvious. And how about this? He is ordained to show forth his own attributes through his church. You might say, how did he do that? How does that come about? Every time you act like Christ, you're demonstrating as a church member to the world what God's attributes are. That's how he does it. And he's ordained that he receive glory in and through his church. And he'll be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Doesn't end somewhere back yonder after the first or second century. Still going on. Will be till Christ comes throughout all ages, world without end. He's ordained to build up believers through the congregational structure. You find that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. Where do you think God's people are supposed to get their upbuilding in spiritual things? In and through the Lord's church. That's where it happens. That's what he's ordained. What is it, brothers and sisters, with folks that have come to the conclusion that they can despise the Lord's churches and pay homage to man-made organizations and programs for the way to supposedly worship God? What is that? Are they studying, reading the same Bible I am? I don't know. I really don't. I hope they are. But sometimes it sounds like they're not. Because this Bible is clear to teach so many things about the church's authority, position, work, function, purpose in the great plan of God. And yet, so many people today are saying, thank you, Billy Graham, for coining the phrase, worship in the church of your choice. Hey, worship in the church of my... Hey, Brother James, maybe I could worship in the Wiccan church then, huh? Or the church of Satan. Worship in the church of your choice. Have you ever heard anybody that's a Baptist say anything so far out in left field, brothers and sisters? I don't think so. And I say, Brother Myers is getting all tore up over nothing. No, I'm not. We're going down a road we don't need to go to. Down a road we don't need to end up in the place that that thing ends. And in America, we're rolling downhill fast. And what do you think maybe is wrong with the moral state of our nation today? Is it a whole bunch of heathenists and wicked men in seats of power that are leading America down the road to hell? I don't really think that's the whole answer. I believe a big part of it is God's people have neglected doing what they're supposed to do. And the result is this, what we've got here today in America. And so, let us be aware of what the Bible teaches about God's church and our fellowship relative to it. We that know the truth from the Bible can fellowship around the truth of the Lord's New Testament church. And we fellowship with God around that truth. I said that we also fellowship with God and Christ and one another around the same principles that we practice and the same principles that we believe. We're in an age today when the so-called Christian community has begun to both say and practice some things that have nothing to do with the principles of God. But any time you find yourself fellowshipping with God, those principles crop up. They crop up because they're part of God. And when they crop up being part of God, you find a point of fellowship there with the Lord and with one another that you can't find anywhere else. God's principles revolve around, as far as the created part of His universe is concerned, they revolve around things like personal morality. I'm talking about principles now. Personal modesty in dress and talk and behavior. Personal honesty in business behavior. Personal behavior that is holy and kind. And we find that today there's a whole mass of mainstream Christianity that says those things are not important anymore. It's not part of the whole Christian experience to practice those kinds of principles. Doesn't matter. Now this doctrine that has crept into Christian community today, it's not new. It was present when Jesus wrote His warning letters by the pen of John to the seven churches in Asia. It was present then. They called it the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, if you're not sure what he was talking about. That's exactly what it was. It was hedonism. It was antinomianism, as we call it. And it means do whatever you want to, whenever you want to, however you want to. Ignore all moral and principled rules because your salvation is by grace and therefore it has no relevance to your behavior. We've got a whole Christian community like that today. You might say, Brother Myers, why are you saying that? There's people that live upright lives. I challenge every one of us to take a look at lives of Christian people around us. Maybe take a little look at our own. And see if there aren't things that have crept into our daily pattern that are nothing more than a denial of the holy principles of God. That's what I'm talking about. We can fellowship around the principles of God, but we can't fellowship around false principles. And so we have a point of fellowship with God when we practice God's holy principles. God has a set of principles, brothers and sisters. I don't know how much to emphasize that, but those principles revolve around what divine love is all about. They revolve around what God's holiness is all about. They revolve around what honesty is all about. And what refusal to compromise morally is all about. They revolve around fairness and purity in behavior. They revolve around no deviousness or trickery or unethical craftiness in our business and our other behaviors. They revolve around both speaking and doing the truth. Those are the things we can fellowship in and do when we're walking in the truth and in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness when we walk in the light as He is in the light. Now, let me ask everybody a question. If you just isolated that light that verse is talking about, took it down and started dissecting it, and you looked at every aspect of that light of the great God of heaven, of the holy Lord Jesus Christ, you looked at that light and you examined it minutely with a microscope, would you find anything in it that was devious, unprincipled, dishonest, that deviated or left off the truth? I don't think so. That's what I'm talking about. When we get to that place where we're walking in the light, that's practicing the principles of the Lord. And when we do that, we can have fellowship one with another. That's the way the Lord has ordained it. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We can fellowship around common love and appreciation for the same thing, same beings. That is, what I'm saying is that the Lord loves His people. He loves His people. He has attachments to His people. He really does. I hope you feel that you have an attachment to God and God has an attachment to you. I hope you feel that God loves you and you love God. I know. I know how imperfect our love for God is. Just lay that aside a minute. And recognize that down in your soul, you have a love for the great God of heaven and a love for the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. And when you do that, when you contemplate that love, I believe you'll feel that God's love is like an umbrella around you, that He truly does love you. And when you think about God's protecting affection for you, you realize that here is a point of fellowship between myself, the Father, and the Son, and myself and the people of God. That's what I'm talking about. God loves His people, and God's people love the Lord, and they love the people of God also. You find a Christian who doesn't like Christian people, and you're not looking at a Christian. I know. Sometimes Christian people are a pretty hard pill to take. We've got foibles and problems and deviations and variations like everybody else. But it's not about loving a person if everything fits with our little pattern of those that we ought to love. It's about loving God's people despite those flaws. I mean, let me ask you a question, brothers and sisters. When you start thinking about fellowshipping around God's love, let me ask you this question. Here's Christ hanging on Calvary. And He's paying the sin debt. And you come up before the great council for consideration about your sin debt. And Christ inventories you and says, I don't know. I don't like the way He responds to people. I don't like the way He talks. I don't like the way He parts His hair. He wouldn't care about me. He wouldn't make that a point for me, but some of you might. I don't like the way He walks. I don't like what He does at all. I don't like His hobbies. So therefore, I'm not going to save Him. I'm rejecting. Now, he knew that. He went to the cross of Calvary with a love for all the people of God. Even me, in all of my flaws, there that day on Golgotha, when he looked upon my soul, he said, "Father, I'm ready to pay the price for him too. I don't care about the fact that he's one of the sorriest human beings that ever walked the face of the planet. I'm paying for him." That's the love of God. That's what we can fellowship around. And you know something? I've never met a human being out there on the planet anywhere that witnesses of the Spirit of God in his soul. I don't care if he's, I care, but it makes no difference if he's a Baptist or a Catholic or a Wiccan, if it's possible. If they manifest the Spirit of God, I don't have any problem at all loving them. I don't. I really don't. And you won't either, because we can fellowship around the love of Christ. And because we love Christ and Christ loves us, we love God and God loves us, we love one another. And you know, old John made it one of the earmarks of being a believer. And then 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, he said, "If we love one another, God dwelleth in us." There's the earmark. And I want to tell you something. If you make that your rule, regardless of how hard it is to love some Christian brother who seems like he's always in opposition to what you consider to be somebody easy to get along with, you love them anyway. And you'll find fellowship with every single child of God that you ever meet. That's just the way God works. Jesus gave us nailed down a charge, if you will, about this in the book of John. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." New commandment. The earmark. To love one another. And as soon as you practice that, you realize that it is a point of fellowship. We're going to stop there. May the Lord bless you to understand that there are points of fellowship between us and God the Father and God the Son, and points of fellowship between us and fellow children of God. Those points are, should I use the word proprietary? They're owned by the people of God. They can't belong to lost people because they know nothing about those spiritual identity points that I've been talking about. I want everybody I meet to discover what it means to know those identity points. But the sad truth is they don't. And you can't have fellowship with lost people on spiritual things because they simply don't see them. And that may answer your question, if you have questions sometimes, like I do, about why some people abuse the Lord's church and prioritize human organizations and human endeavors above the endeavors of the Lord's church. That probably answers your question, if you have such a question. Because when people just can't see spiritual things, I can guarantee you, if they can't see spiritual things, they'll set their priorities according to temporal, carnal things. That's what they'll do. And we understand that. But God's people find fellowship around spiritual things, with God the Father, God the Son, and with one another. And it's wonderful to be able to have that fellowship and know that you're children of the kingdom, that you have fellowship with God and that you have the capacity to fellowship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord.